It's been a bad week.
Thank you. Thank you very much indeed. And welcome to It's Been a Bad Week, the show which dedicates 30 minutes to discovering who, in the whole wide world, has had the worst week of anyone over the last 7 days. They say there's always someone worse off than yourself, and our job is to find that someone and then have a good laugh at them.
You're very much in at the birth tonight. This is our very first show, and as with most births, we had our fun 9 months ago when we did the pilot. But now we've actually got to bring this vomiting, newling creature into the world.
Yes, we have to wade through stories of misfortune, mishap and cock-up from all four corners of the globe and choose the winner of our first ever Worst Week of the Week competition, which is awarded weekly on a week-by-week basis. This is too onerous a task for us alone, but fortunately we have with us two very fine actors, John Coleshaw and Emma Clarke. Bad week for all actors, of course. Did either of you get an Oscar nomination at all?
Yes, I did, for services to Shopping Aisle Game Show.
Splendid. Flying the flag for Britain. And, any luck? Yeah?
No, the Academy thought me more than accent was a bit too quirky.
That's a bit of a shame. Never did Brenda Breathen any harm.
We also have songs from Mervyn Stutter. And to help us narrow down and choose the final winner, we've got a guest arbitrator.
We do indeed. Music critic, film critic, writer, presenter, Wigan's Renaissance man. Not that they have anything as soft as Renaissance men up there. Please welcome Stuart McConey.
Now, Stuart, first of all, obviously we have to declare all interest. So have you had a bad week at all?
Yeah, I have, in all seriousness, not just in a mocking way, but in all seriousness, I got cut off. My phone got cut off. Now, and in the old days, when I was a child, in the cobble streets of the north of England, getting cut off was tantamount to coming home and finding all your clothes and belongings out in the street, you know, or that you were finding a skip drinking bottles of gin or something like that. The BT guy assured me that I should have received a courtesy call, which I assume
that's
is using,
nice,
the, using the word courtesy in the same sense that Goebbels used the word culture, I imagine. You know? So that was a stumbling block to my week, but I'm getting over it now.
Yeah, that's the stuff, because you cannot nominate yourself, so although that is quite a bad week. But before we settle to the task of discovering the worst week in the world, let's see just how bad week away you are. What would 91% of men like to do with Monica Lewinsky?
Ah, be the New England manager?
Yeah. Nope.
On the grounds that she couldn't seriously make any worse of a fist of it than people have. And although I guess for most footballers she'd be rather sophisticated female company, wouldn't she, Monica?
You're struggling here, aren't you?
Present the National Lottery live.
The answer, in fact, is nothing at all. Monica had a very bad week because a poll in that ever-reliable stalwart of quality journalism, the National Enquirer, showed that only 9% of American men would be willing to date her.
Yeah. The remaining 91% presumably thought there wasn't any point in dating her if she's happy to go for it in the nearest airing cupboard.
Although 78% of them would date her hairstyle. To about 1964, I think. Finally, David Duchovny had a bad week because he apparently fears that the boom in sci-fi on TV might be over. However, he has got another career he can fall back on, because when he was young and struggling, Duchovny took part in a couple of porn films. You presented a movie show, have you?
Yeah.
Do you know their titles?
I was Chris Woodhead's teenage plaything. On Neptune. No, Steve, because despite the twinkle in your eye, I've never seen this kind of film, so no, I can't.
You've missed out.
See, well, no, the answer's on two films. One, Julia Has Two Lovers. Well, could be interesting. And the second, A Charming Italian Tale of Love on the Canals. The Copulating Mermaid of Venice.
No. Toying with me.
I wish I was joking. But it's, no, that's completely true. Strapline, half woman, half haddock, all action.
What a great show. If anyone's got a copy of that, if you'd like to send it to It's Been a Bad Week. Right, OK, well, Stuart did pretty well there, obviously well up on bad weeks. So our mission to select the winner of the Worst Week of the Week competition, awarded weekly on a week-by-week basis, begins. We're looking for those people who have had truly bad weeks, like the man in Philadelphia who was turned down for a handgun permit on the pathetically flimsy grounds that on the form where it asked why he needed a gun, he wrote, and I quote, "To protect myself from the dwarf drug dealers." who are beaming radio waves onto me by satellite. Although we're not allowing him as an actual contender since his brain is clearly there as a punishment for a previous existence. So let's away. Could we have our first candidates, please?
Right, well, our first candidate, unfortunately, the England football team, lost to France. But don't despair. Don't despair. Oh, no, because it's been an even worse week for the Germans. Which means, of course, that it's been a good week for everyone else. Just bringing up the Rover Company song there. So that, this show, of course, is all about Schadenfreude. That's a German word which means literally taking pleasure from someone else's misfortune. And let's face it, only the Germans would have a word for something like that. Which makes it all the more pleasurable to tell you that this week, the German football team lost 3-0 to the United States.
Now, the United States is a place where soccer is played mainly by girls and their moms, right? And their last major triumph was only losing by the odd goal to Iran. But this week, Germany, that mighty machine of efficient football, three times world champions, that's Germany, large country sandwiched between France and Poland, turn right at Belgium, you can't miss it. Germany lost 3-0 to the United States. We don't think enough has been made of this, and we feel it's our patriotic duty to bring you a bit more detail. Over to Stuart Hall.
Yes, well, the sun beamed down from an azure sky as the England colonials faced the Teutonic hordes. And the American goal scorer is in full now, the first goal from a 10-year-old girl from Florida called Tammy. 10 minutes later, a young housewife from Ohio volleyed home from 40 yards. And the third goal, beautifully set up by Barney the Dinosaur, came as an 83-year-old California grandmother dribbled past Lothar Matthäus and slipped the ball past the keeper. Oh, yes, James Last, Gerhard Schroeder, Boris Becker, Ludwig van Beethoven. Your boys took one hell of a beating. One hell of a beating.
So, just to remind you, a bad week for Germany.
Staying in Europe, it's been a bad week for the Picasso family, because some of the surviving relatives of old Pablo have got together to sue his son, Claude, because Claude has sold the family name to French car maker Citroën, who wants to bring out a car called the Citroën Picasso.
Now, this car will be easily recognisable. There are 8 headlights all on one side of the bonnet. And the steering wheel sticks out of the roof.
Yeah. The car will be advertised by Claudia Schiffer coming downstairs, stripping off to reveal her breasts growing from where her ears should be. But enough of our Philistine Picasso-style so-called humour. Let's get the views of the people who know.
They call this car the Citroën Picasso. Because anyone who buys one is in for a blue period. For a start, there's no radio. The only in-car entertainment is the Brian Sewell in the back. The Picasso. A metal box, or the hard, utterly masculine member standing proud in the sweat of a matador's codpiece. In fact, neither. At auction, this masterpiece fetched a world record $35 million, even without an MOT. And yet, many people say Picasso was a cubist. But he had many cubes amongst his friends and had nothing against them. And yet Picasso, in quintessence, is a fraud. Quite simply, the most overrated, nonsensical and talentless person ever to achieve fame. With the possible exception of me.
Can we think of any atrocious puns to do with cars and painters?
Rubens Reliant?
Transit Van Gogh?
Is a good one.
The Laughing Cavalier?
Monet Cooper?
Or the Monet Metro?
Closer to home, it was a distinctly bad week for the residents of a small village in Hampshire called Kimpton. There was a white van parked in their village. It's always a bad sign. And this particular white van contained a dead camel. Which was slightly charred, where someone had tried unsuccessfully to cremate it. So, we've got a dead, half-cremated camel found in a van in a small village.
This ties in, Scully. Last year, a dromedary was found lying in the back of a Vauxhall Astra on the hard shoulder of the M52. This is kind of spooky. I don't like it.
Relax, Mulder. Think logically. A half-charred camel in the back of the van can only mean one thing. Damien Hirst's restaurant has started doing deliveries.
So, that's our first three candidates for the worst week in the world. The Germans, the Picassos, or a semi-barbecued ship of the desert. Stuart, which are you going to choose to go through to the final there?
I think, well, why break with tradition? I think the Germans should go through on penalties.
Right, the Germans go through for having a worst week in the world, losing 3-0 to the United States. It was also, of course, a bad week for anyone who eats. Tony Blair says genetically modified food is okay.
Genetically modified food is okay.
See, I told you. And to explain why, here's Mervyn Stutter.
Genetically modified GM food. Resist all pesticides, GM food. Circle farming with ease. For me, big fat profits view some strange new disease. GM food. The Tories there blaming Blair. GM food. Ha! As if they really care. GM food. Remember Gamma shoving burgers down his daughter? They gave us PSE, Listeria, Salmonella and dirty water. Experiments don't work, you see. We know we've all sat through GM TV. One failed mutant escaped and got out. Yes, Eamon Holmes, half man, half sprout. Oh, GM food! They call it Franken food! GM food! But frankly, is it good? GM food! Oh, from Frankenstein. But without proper labeling, you just don't know what you're buying. GM food.
Right. Right, let's move on straight away to our next batch of candidates for World's Worst Week. And first up is Harry Rosso, a guy from LA. Now, Harry's a health nut. He gave up red meat because he was worried about his heart, swore off fruit and veg because he was worried about pesticides, gave up eating cheese and milk because he was worried about contracting BSE. In fact, there's only one cloud on the horizon for Harry. He died of starvation last Tuesday.
Now, you can call us sceptics, but I think that's taking it a bit far. I don't know about you. But we asked Ben Hoddle, and he thinks he'll be fine because he'll probably come back as a supermodel. And in any case, as I think you'll agree, Stuart, right, I think you'll agree here that a far more worthy bad week candidate is the man in Israel who phoned up and booked a prostitute, and guess who turned up?
Was it Ann Widdicombe?
I said bad week. Bad week, not catastrophic week. No, he phoned for a call girl, and he got his own wife.
You see...
That just
isn't true.
It is absolutely true, and not only that, he got a discount for friends and family.
No, I don't believe that. What was this bloke's name?
The bloke's name is Jacob Belschwitz.
And his wife?
Mrs. Belschwitz. Or after 7 p.m, Fifi La Douce.
Yeah. That, ladies and gentlemen, is a story from the Apocryphal Times, or What Urban Myth.
No, it is actually a story from the Daily Express last Monday. Stuart, this man has to go into the lead, surely.
Yeah, I think he deserves more sorrow than condemnation, doesn't he? You know, times are hard. She's just trying to, you know, bring in a few extra bob. And there's more undignified ways to make a living. She could have been in Sunset Beach.
I like that story, but another marital bad week in the running with a very strong chance is one Mr. Dwight Dombeley from Philadelphia.
You remember where the dwarf drug dealers live.
And that really is his name. You can be called anything if you're American. I remember during the Gulf War, CNN had a kind of war correspondent called Gary Sick. Anyway, Dwight Dombeley's had a bad week for two reasons. Firstly, he's got the name of an as-yet-unmarketed children's TV character. But secondly, he's the man you may have read about whose wife flushed all 300 of his Viagra tablets down the toilet. She said...
6 years ago, my husband lost interest in sex, and I could finally get a decent night's sleep without being molested. Then he discovered Viagra and turned my nights into hell again.
Ah, the wonderful institution of marriage. But the worrying thing here, of course, is the sheer irresponsibility of flushing Viagra tablets down the toilet, because they dissolve in the sewers. Right? Then they get flushed out to sea. And as if deep sea fishing wasn't a perilous enough activity, now our brave fishermen will have to contend with being pinned to the deck by rampant halibut. Who will frankly have anything in a sou'wester.
Yeah. The consequences for aquatic life will be dire. Ask anyone who's met the copulating mermaid of Venice. Yeah. Although, on the plus side, apparently, you know that Moby Dick? Yeah. It's not going to be a problem anymore. Now, another worst week in the world candidate, please, Mr. P.
Right, well, it's been a bad week in Russia because their amazing space mirror failed to work.
Yeah, did you see this? This story?
The huge space mirror? Well, yeah. I saw that Russia got a huge mirror and they're short of money, so I wondered why they didn't sell it to Noel Gallagher.
What did they do with this mirror?
Yeah. Do you know what they did with it?
I have no idea. What did they do?
They launched it. They launched it into space. The idea was to give cities in Siberia a bit more sunlight, a bit more daylight. They were going to reflect the sun off this giant mirror. But I thought, you know, they're a bit behind. It might be very 1970s technology. I thought they would put up a giant glitter ball. But they didn't.
Was this from the Howe Annual 1972?
Yeah. Unfortunately, the Americans blew the whole thing by sending up a giant Warren Beatty to stand in front of it.
So, anyway, what we've got here, we've got Russia, we've got Mr. Rosso, we've got Mr. Dombley, and of course we've got poor old
Mr. Belschmidt. Yeah.
Which one of those are you going to go for, to go through with the Germans in the world's worst week?
Well, on the grounds that you can't, dying of starvation would put a damper on anyone's week, I think Mr. Rosso.
Right, so we've got the Germans and Mr. Rosso, two contenders now for the worst week in the world competition. But hey, let's not cheat yet, there's more.
It's been a bad week for senior British Airways executives. Oh, waves of sympathy running round the audience. But wait, no, this is quite bad, because BA has ordered them to spend next New Year's Eve in the air in their own planes to allay public fears about the millennium bug.
Do you think of a worse place to spend New Year's Eve?
Trafalgar Square, I imagine, will be a worse place where you can watch the cheery Dutch backpackers being beaten to death by Millwall fans. That's no way to see in the new millennium, is it? No, planes are bad, I agree.
Incidentally, the chief executive, Bob Ayling, has exempted himself from this. He's actually going to be at the dome, checking that the roof's strong enough to withstand the impact of a 747.
Yeah. Anyway, it's also been a bad week for pilots generally. A Channel 4 documentary on Monday alleged that 10% of them have seen a UFO, but they're too scared to say anything.
Now, I personally don't think this is hard to understand, because obviously they fear for their jobs, right? Because if you're 35,000 feet above the ground, and you're being kept aloft by a man in the cabin at the front, then you want that man to sound like this.
Hello, this is Captain Hargreaves speaking. We're currently cruising at 35,000 feet, and if you look out of the right-hand side of the plane, you can catch a glimpse of the Pyrenees.
Right? What you do not want that man to sound like is this.
Hello, this is Captain Hargreaves speaking. If you look out of the right-hand side of the plane, you can see a cigar-shaped object glowing in a mysterious green colour. Well, I can see it even if you can't. Look at the portholes, they are here. The alien drug dealers beaming their radio waves upon me. So please settle back and enjoy our in-flight movie, The Copulating Mermaid of Venice.
Anyway, our third candidate here amongst our bad weeks amongst professions is vicars. It was a bad week for reverends everywhere because apparently they have now been overtaken by technology.
Yeah, now this is a story from the Evening Standard. In Tofton, Georgia, USA, the Reverend Bob Walmsley has built a £150,000 robot St. Paul to counteract a shortage of priests in the area. It shakes hands, crosses its legs, wiggles its foot, spreads its arms and delivers a 13-minute sermon.
Isn't that great? This is like RoboCop, except it's RoboVicar. I mean, will it be able to carry out all vicar functions?
We are gathered here today to celebrate the wedding of Marion and Keith. Marriage is an honorable estate, for you puny humans cannot reproduce yourselves except by the exchange of fluids. On the other hand, I, RoboVicar, can produce offspring with a spanner and a set of simple instructions. Do you, Marion, take Keith to be your wedded husband? You have 10 seconds to comply.
I do.
Do you, Marion, take Keith to be your wedded husband? You have 5 seconds to comply.
I do. I do!
You have failed to comply. And yea, verily, I must smite you. Next, news about the jumble sale.
Right, anyway, to sum up here, we've got bad weeks for the British Airways bigwigs, who might be in mid-air when air traffic control suddenly flips to Donkey Kong. And we've got a bad week for Vickers, because they all might be replaced by robots. Stuart, which one are we going to plump for to go through?
I feel sorry for those Vickers. So yeah. I'm going to go for Vickers.
I feel
as this robot Vickers tries to put them out of work.
I think if he is a robot St. Paul, he can undergo that conversion thing. You know, halfway down the road to Damascus, he becomes a Coca-Cola dispenser. Anyway, well, just to cheer up any BA executives listening, let's ponder a little further of Millennium Bug Madness with Mervyn Stutter.
Century. Now the government says that I am not millennium compliant, whatever that is. There'll be glitches and there'll be blips on mainframes and embedded chips in the towns and in your home in all sorts of ways you never have known. That bug ain't gonna leave you alone at all. There'll be no TVs, PCs, cars and videos, blenders, toasters, even radios, parcel post and cargo shipments, vital bits of hospital equipment, thermostats and water heaters, electronic vaults and satellite receivers, submarines all going frantic, rising slowly from the Atlantic. Insurance companies will have blundered if they think it's 1900. Fully got, mate, car insurance. There you go, power free and forms. Automatic doors and barcode readers, fire alarms and fridge freezers, telephones and escalators, the bug is gonna devastate us. On New Year's Eve, all airline bosses will be in their planes, holding crosses, playing with their rosaries, saying everything looks fine to me. Except, of course, dear Bob Ayling, he won't know if BA is failing. He's got a disaster all his own. He's opening the Millennium Dome with Tom.
Good, right, okay, well that gives us our first three candidates for the worst week in the world competition, awarded weekly on a week-by-week basis. We have Mr. Rosso, we have the Germans, we have Vickers, but one element is still to come because we have asked our audience here at Ronnie Scott's Jazz Club for their own bad weeks, and they've filled in little forms with their bad weeks on. It may be that one of these eventually triumphs. Stuart, you got a couple, should we?
Yeah.
Go through a few.
Yeah, Lorraine Ragg was made to watch Sex in the City by her flatmates, which is diabolically crap. It's a terse assessment of the...
Guy here called Tom Wilcox from Enfield. I've had a bad week because I work in a bank.
I'd just like to crave your indulgence on this one for a little while by Mr. again, or Ms. Mahoney. I was mugged on Tuesday and therefore couldn't drive my car here. They'd taken the keys, and because it was second-hand when I bought it, I couldn't get a duplicate key. I had to have a complete new central locking system installed. On the Saturday, the fitters had a problem with the central locking and said he'd complete the job the following Tuesday, which he did, then left the car at the station for me to pick up on my return from work. You've guessed it, they stole my car. So I had a bill for £129 for a locking system I had never used. The car was a complete write-off. When the police found it some days later, my son's car was towed away while we were inside the police station inquiring about my stolen car.
Angela, from Wimbledon, and this is, I've had a bad week because I got sacked, then my ceiling fell on my boyfriend, and I've just realised that I've sent out 150 CVs with knowledge spelt wrong.
Oh, dear. So, that is bad. So, now, Stuart, I mean, this really is...
I think, for the sheer length and the sheer torture that Mr. and Mr. Mahoney went through, that they win. They are the bad
ones. They've got the same name as you, very nearly.
Very nearly, yes. There's no nexus involved.
Right, well, that gives us our finalists, Mr. and Mrs. Mahoney, Vickers, Germans, and Mr. Rosso. Stuart, make your mind up while Mervyn just gives us a quick reminder of some of our finalists.
We got prison robots preaching of Jehovah. Viagra tablets, 300 down the pen. At Longbridge, they think it's all Rover. There's half-cremated camels in Hampshire in the back of a van. It's been a bad week. It's been a bad week. It's been a bad week. The dwarf drug dealers are out there, but they're very rarely seen. It's been a bad, 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 bad week.
I mean bad.
Okay, time for the moment of truth. Stuart McConey, who has had the worst week in the world over the last 7 days, please?
It's Mr. Stroke Ms. Mahoney, I think it's got to be.
Big round of applause for Mr. and Ms. Mahoney.
Do we have a replacement car for them?
And just to cheer them up for their appalling week, we're going to give them our special Worst Week in the World prize, a night out on the town with William Hague. Thank you very much indeed for listening. Our special thanks to Stuart McConey. Join us again in 7 days' time for another Bad Week.
Madam Speaker, you have been listening to It's Been a Bad Week with Steve Punt, Hugh Dennis, Emma Clark, John Culshaw, Mervyn Stutter, and guest Stuart McConey. It was written by Steve Punt, Hugh Dennis, Steve Knight, Mike Whitehill, Sue Morris, and Steve Cochran. Will the Prime Minister not agree that the broadcast assistant was Trudy Stevens, the producer Neil Rosser, and the executive producer Dirk Max? It's Been a Bad Week is a Celador production for BBC Radio 2. And Widdicombe, I love you.